Pennsylvania looking to put a sin tax on video games, a quick rundown of the latest headlines and upcoming Nintendo events you might have missed, Nintendo has a problem with retailers revealing release dates, Xbox Live coming to Nintendo Switch and mobile, top 10 best-selling first-party Switch titles, Nintendo has a plan to boost Nintendo Switch Online long-term subscriptions, and we will break down the latest Nintendo Direct coverage that literally just happened mere hours ago as of this recording. All this and more, you're listening to CantoCast. Hello and welcome to CantoCast. This is Casey B. Bryan. I'm joined by my wife and co-host, who typically knows very little about video games, Casey Y. Jenna.
Yeah, that's me.
Hello. You smell nice, by the way.
Thank you.
I just noticed it.
I put on new chapstick.
Oh, is that? Wow.
Yeah.
That is very fragrant. It smelled like a perfume to me.
It's supposed to have like a grapefruity kind of smell to it. I don't know if I agree with that, but it smells kind of nice.
It smells pleasant.
Yeah.
I don't know that it has a distinct...
I mean,
I wouldn't smell that and say grapefruit.
That's what your sister told me it smelled like. I just went with it.
I don't believe her.
It smells like something else I've used before, but I can't think of it. Like, have you ever smelled something and been like, I know that smell, but not
scent,
know where you know where
scent
it from?
Is one of, if not the strongest scents tied to memory.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, that doesn't surprise me. Anyway,
like a welcome. Random tangent. Yeah, we're, I may not know that much about video games, but I'm here to...
We're recording late on a Wednesday? Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, it is Wednesday.
I don't know what day it is.
I know,
anymore.
It feels like it should be like Thursday or something.
Today does have a very Thursday kind of vibe.
I mean, I just redid all the work I did on Tuesday, so like I have no idea what.
I just redid an entire podcast script that I finished last Friday that I decided to hold because I was like, we're going to get the Nintendo Direct. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. So I kind of had to rewrite some stuff, and I had some stories I had to change around because some of them were dealing with speculation of. Nintendo Directs. I can't really speculate if it already happened, so...
I mean, I guess it's a good thing
it's
that
fine.
We didn't... Well, I was gone one day this weekend, so we normally record over the weekends.
True.
And then you had that, like,
I streamed
10-hour
all
stream.
So I've been doing... if you listen to the Faycast, anchor.fm/thefaycast, or twitter.com/thefaycast... link in description, by the way. I've been doing a Fire Emblem series stream. So every mainstay Fire Emblem game that has been localized, I've been streaming on Twitch every Saturday, Sunday for like 6+ hours.
Yes.
Well, last weekend, we also had a Splatfest.
Yes.
Which I needed to use to practice for the Splatoon 2 Open, which was on Sunday.
Yeah.
So Saturday, I started streaming at like noon. And then I stopped streaming Fire Emblem at like 6:30, and then I picked back up at 7 and streamed Splatoon 2 until like 10:30.
No, it was so, almost closer to 11.
Well, I was streaming for like, I think, minus breaks and stuff, like 10 hours total. So yeah. My Saturday was shot, and then Sunday was just kind of like waiting around for pairings to come up, which... The Booyah Back Boys.
Yeah.
Bear, Amazes, Gliscor Guy, and I. We did make it through the first round.
Congratulations.
Got completely stomped in the second.
Is that, like, you were like, hey, I need you to get off of Wi-Fi, and you were like, this is serious.
It is. It's super serious. Yeah. So, that was my weekend, and I was like, so I'm going to have my podcast stuff. And then we got the news that the Direct... was actually
a thing.
Well, its mainstay focus was going to be Fire Emblem Three Houses, which then affected my Faycast script.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have enough to like make its own episode, or should I like push it into what I have right now? Because we just had a Fay channel and a 3.2 update over there. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So then I essentially just kind of held off on everything. Because typically those episodes go up on, like, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter that I was gone on Saturday, like, all day on Saturday. I went up to see your sister and our niece and stuff like that. And then you were just, like, busy anyway. So there was no really time to record this. And then once we heard the direct, you were just like, I'm just going to wait.
Yeah. So anyway, that's not very video gamey newsy.
They like our banter, I heard.
No, no one does. This is a new format. So let's get into some IRL stuff. We had Pennsylvania lawmakers looking to put a sin tax on mature and adult-only rated games. Sin tax, if you guys aren't privy to that, is a tax that is added on to goods that are deemed to be socially harmful. So things like alcohol, tobacco, gambling, all of those
things. I feel like there's some things that could qualify that don't. And I think that video games seems kind of dumb.
I guess so.
I mean, I guess, like, so they, anything that's, like, sinful, like alcohol, let's put alcohol for an example.
Sure.
They may have alcoholic references in games that are rated M or above.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe that's where they're, like, that content is what they consider sinful.
And this is where I destroy that argument. Which, this is not planned, by the way.
I was just thinking, like, how are they thinking about this? Because taxing a video game seems dumb.
So are you going to tax mature-themed art? Like, if there is a painting with a beer bottle in it and a half-naked dude standing there, are you going to put a sin tax on it? No, it's art. It's like somebody would probably go pay $50,000 for it and be like, this is a chemin de la croix original. And, like, people would think it's, like, amazing or something. I don't know. But that's not considered socially harmful. It's considered art. And it's not, like, a video game is obviously a tangible thing, like,
I guess it's opinion-based.
Like a wine bottle or casino. But it's different.
I don't know.
Because you're not really expressing anything with those things. In games, you technically do.
I don't know.
Music, too. Well, you can make the same argument. Are you going to put a sin tax on, like, gangster rap?
When they're being offensive?
That sounds so, like, there are some socially harmful words.
Yes.
And slurs involved in some types of music.
I feel like they're also going to play the angle to justify this tax.
Oh, we're getting there.
About it being, like, gaming is addictive.
Not where I thought you were going.
Gambling is addictive, and that's part of the reason,
no,
but it also has monetary value involved.
That would have actually been a better angle to take, honestly, but they didn't do that, because they don't.
So what did they try and justify this
for? So they're proposing a 10% tax with revenue used to enhance safety measures in public schools. That's right. We're going down the overbeaten train of video games cause violence in schools. Again, that's where we're at again. It was introduced by Representative Christopher B. Quinn, in case you want to call your rep, people of Pennsylvania. And he cited a study by the National Center for Health Research saying that violent video games increase violent behaviors.
However, hold on,
because we're getting to the best part of this entire little story.
Okay, go ahead.
The same study shows no good linking evidence to violent media and mass homicides or violence. The same stuff. Conveniently left that out in his proposal.
Wait, so he cited a...
He cited a research paper or study.
Yes.
Saying that violent video games increase violent behaviors. But the same study then basically said, but those behaviors don't necessarily become acted upon because of the medias. So the instinct to act on the violent behavior is completely irrelevant, which is how these instances actually happen.
Yeah. I feel like there's been other studies that people, like, in the media have tried to, like, when there's a mass shooting or, like, any kind of school, teen, young kid-related violence, and they try and tie it back to, like, video games and violent media.
Every single time.
They use a similar study, and that they don't, study has they don't been disproven get
down, they don't
or, like,
get down to the nuts and bolts of the matter that we don't address mental health properly. We don't address gun ownership properly, and that's what happens.
I feel like you should go be a step beyond just, like, those two things that you mentioned. I feel like sometimes in today's society, like, people just tend to be passive on a lot of things, and and when you're bringing children up into the world, you, like, need to have these conversations with them and, like, kind of, I don't know,
manage. It's crazy some of that the, like, elementary students have to go through school shooting drills.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen. We never did that.
Like, preschoolers have to practice, like, getting down and hiding in case a shooter comes through,
like,
the halls.
Parents are buying their kids bulletproof, like, backpacks.
But listen, games were around long before that.
True.
Okay? Like, you want to talk about, like, you want to talk about violent games? Ancient Greece had actual war simulation games.
Yes.
Rome did the same thing. Nobody was going in, like, tomahawking a bunch of, like, university. You know what I mean?
It's
how the society addresses the culture.
That's what I'm saying.
And the culture of school shootings has been addressed very, very poorly.
I think.
Plain and simple.
The culture of, like, just raising children in general needs to improve, because it's not just, like, a violence issue. There's issues all over our society that need to be addressed as children to then form, like, responsible and functioning and, like, just good human beings.
Not to mention, we have a vastly overtapped 24-hour news cycle that is just constantly showing these murderers on repeat when something like this happens, which props to the Philip DeFranco show, because they have a policy of not publicizing or glorifying, or
they don't put faces on these
incidents. they don't show the offenders, which, you know, is good. And so when you have a mixture of someone who is, you know, mentally disturbed, who is crying out for attention, and they see someone like yeah, obviously there are different circumstances, and we'll get off this preachy topic in just a second, but going after video games is not the way to do it. All right. If you want to help raise funds for increasing public school safety measures, absolutely do that. But don't put a war on video games for that. That's not the way to go about it. No one's gonna take you seriously.
I feel like they can. I don't know what kind of safety measures these public schools are trying to implement. And sometimes I also feel like it's not just the fact that they're saying they're raising money for this. They need to show the public what they're raising the money for and how it's going to actually benefit the children. Because I feel like sometimes they say, like, they're going to do that, and the safety measure is we're paying
a
police guard person.
Like, literally, if they want to go down this road, they're going to have to put a sin tax on gun ranges.
Yes.
They're going to have to put a sin tax on MMA fights. Like, they're going to have to do all of... It's so stupid. Pennsylvania, what are you doing? I'm from Ohio, all right? I get it. We're Rust Belt buddies. Seriously.
What about, like, WWE?
What are you doing?
Like, isn't that, like, simulated violence?
It is simulated something. For sure. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's obviously, like, it's scripted and it's entertainment and...
But they're showing violent acts.
It's still pretty, you know, slamming some dude's head into a very bouncy, loud mat. Like, I never understood the WWE stages. I really didn't. I have some acquaintances who are big WWE fans, and I just don't get it. All right? I guess I see the appeal. Like, following all of these wrestlers is just way too much for me to handle.
In my head, I feel like that. And never mind, I'm probably just gonna offend people.
Yeah, let's not. I think we've been controversial enough for this episode already.
I'll tell you later.
Let's give a quickie rundown of some of the events coming up that you may or may not know about. Pokemon Go Community Day is this weekend. It features Swinub / Mamoswine, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a big chance at getting more Sinnoh Stones, so if you haven't got a whole lot, be sure to hop out and partake. It's going on February 16th from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to adjust your time zones, or, you know, get that figured out if if you're not EST, if you're somewhere else in the world. Valentine's Confections event is coming to Dragalia Lost. It's a new type of event featuring story rewards, which is kind of cool. New type of event they haven't done before. We've had facility events, we've had raid events, now we have story events, I guess. It's starting on February 14th.
Valentine's
at 1 a.m. So, like, literally a couple hours from now as of this recording.
Are you going to make me Valentine's Confections?
I'm thinking about it. We gotta hit the store after this. It's also going to include a showcase featuring Valentine alts for Hildegard, Ezelith, and Orion, and some Worm Prince as well, which, if they ever allow double Worm Prince, there is one that I think stacks your prepared tech skill, like 100%, so you could just pop out specials, like, constantly. Could be pretty crazy. We also had we had news about an unannounced Switch title being prepared, and it was in Nintendo's financial report that stated they're preparing an unannounced title that fans would be quote unquote delighted to know about. Interesting. Later in the statement, it also says it fits nicely for the online program. Would be anytime April through 2019, since it was the 2019 financial report that they talked about. So who really knows? Like, I have an idea. Once we talk about the Nintendo Direct coming up in a little bit, I think we'll have a good idea of which one that is, and I'll let you know when we get to it. Square Enix has even more trademarks. We talked about the HD 2D trademark that they did last time on the show. They've also added Secret of Mana, Final Fantasy Adventure, and Mystic Quest. So a little less ambiguous and more, hey, we're definitely going to make these games either as new games, remakes, sequels, or some kind of mobile version. I had no idea how many mobile games Square Enix made.
How like, many?
They even have a Bravely Default mobile game. But a lot of them are only available in Japan. I never knew.
Do you until need to, like, buy a Japanese phone and, well, like, not have service, but somehow be able to download these games?
So I subscribed to the Square Enix Japanese YouTube channel. Yeah. And so I'm getting all these trailers constantly. I have no idea what the titles are. I have no idea what it means. All I see are the pictures. I was like, that looks like Bravely. And then I started looking through, and they have so many mobile games. I was like, what the? This is, I want to play Bravely Default Mobile, but I can't because it's only in Japan. It's not available for me.
So. Can you play? Well,
feels
you,
bad.
You know what? You're just going to have to learn how to read Japanese.
I am. It's on my goal list.
Some sort of, like, emulator where you can have a Japanese phone.
I genuinely want, because I want to be in Japan for New Year's next year. Like, that's my 2019 goal, which, ironically, is very far away. We had Fire Emblem Heroes celebrating 2 years this time around. It has a ton of banners coming up, as well as a find and vote competition to celebrate. Dragonflower's mechanic was also introduced to help mitigate power creep, I think, along with the latest update. For more information on this and other Fae content, be sure to check out the FaeCast at anchor.fm/thefaecast. That's not the first time, nor will it be the last time I have plugged my other show. It's coming up. And we have the Nintendo Direct finally announced, and it happened, and it focused primarily on Nintendo Switch titles and Fire Emblem Three Houses. In fact, no 3DS titles. We have, I think, like three or four 3DS titles coming out this year alone. So pour one out for my homie 3DS.
Are they
that,
like
that
not,
system is done?
Are they like not remakes
I don't
or
think,
like whatever?
I don't. So I think it was a Yoshi Woolly World port.
Yeah, there was ports.
And then something else.
They were, like, porting over from the Wii U.
I don't remember. Yeah. Which, putting it on the 3DS seems weird. Like, I would honestly just put it on the Nintendo Switch shop.
Well, I guess they want to keep the life
of
the 3DS.
It's a bad decision. Because they're going to have to keep servers up to maintain the online. Although, they did just shut down the Wii shop channel, like,
yeah,
a couple weeks ago. Which, the Wii is, like, old. That is an old console.
It's the old.
Anyway, we'll be talking about the Direct in much greater detail a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned to that. But first, our first story of the day, we have recent release date leaks for Switch games. Nintendo has a serious problem, and it's retailers being dumb and revealing release dates. Spyro Reignited Trilogy, Daemon X Machina, Animal Crossing, Luigi's Mansion 3, and Unravel 2 are just some of the ones that came across my timeline this past week. GameStop Germany listed Spyro Reignited Trilogy as being launched on August 16th, 2019. The UK retailer Base.com listed Daemon X Machina, Animal Crossing, and Luigi's Mansion 3, with Daemon X coming out on May 24th. Animal Crossing, September 13th, and Luigi's Mansion, July 19th. Which is worth noting, we didn't see Spyro or Animal Crossing or Luigi's Mansion in the Direct. However, Daemon X Machina had a summer release date. They said summer 2019, which would technically fit with this. And then we also had Amazon Italy, silly Amazon, revealing Unravel 2, which was marked for March 22nd, which, spoilers, they showed a highlight in the Nintendo Direct that just happened today, and it was March 22nd. So, I would say that these dates hold pretty strong water, especially the Base.com listing one, like it fits with Daemon X Machina. So, Luigi's Mansion probably getting a summer release, and Animal Crossing, not surprising, getting a fall. I kind of thought that maybe those would be switched, because, like, Luigi's Mansion is kind of, like, spooky, right?
Yeah.
And Animal Crossing is all about, like, being outside,
no,
building stuff. And I was like, that's a summer game.
The game content totally makes sense with that, but yeah. I think the Animal Crossing game is going to be huge compared to Luigi's Mansion 3.
Wow.
So I think that they want to release that closer to, like, Thanksgiving and holiday.
You are vastly underestimating the cult following that Luigi's Mansion has.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think, like, sales-wise, that it would outsell Animal Crossing?
See, that's the thing, right? Mario titles are always, like, they always sell well.
Because it's a Mario game.
However, while Animal Crossing doesn't have a Mario character in it, people have been waiting a long time for a new Animal Crossing
game.
Well,
here's what I predict is going to happen.
It's like Fire Emblem.
They're going to release Animal Crossing, and then around the holidays, at some point, they're going to release some sort of bundle or skin or whatever that's Animal Crossing for the holiday.
Oh, God. DLC. They're going to put DLC in Animal Crossing. It's going to happen. Just wait.
And then that way you can get, like, your kid the Animal Crossing bundle, and it's going to be, like, big.
I would get my kid the Animal Crossing bundle.
Yeah.
Maybe. So anyway, I don't know what's happening with all these release date mistakes, but man, y'all need to check your stuff better. Friendly reminder, follow at Nintendeal on Twitter and put those notifications on, because that's where I found all this information. Absolutely fantastic Twitter account to follow, especially with Nintendo Direct season coming up, and we're going to have E3 not too far from now. Slated for, like, June 19th,
Do you think, like, the people behind those, like, do they just, like, is that all they do with their life? Like, that's one guy behind a computer? Or do you think it's, like, a couple people sharing it?
Nintendo actually expanded to have, like, a team.
Okay.
Like, I'm actually debating applying for a job there because they're hiring.
You should.
I don't know what I'd do.
If you can work virtually, like, why not?
They've started doing, like, blog postings and stuff, like, covering stories and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
You could be the guy researches, like,
anytime somebody
dives and, like, finds all these patents and
anytime
things.
Anytime
like
somebody
that,
branches out
yeah.
and, like, expands their business model,
yeah,
I applaud. Because, like, I did the same thing, and it's really scary starting over, but I'm in a good place now. Not financially, but spiritually. I'm in a good place now. so it's nice to see people, like, break outside their comfort zones and, like, you know, expand.
Because
I know a lot of Pokemon content creators that, like, are, like, will not do that. And while I get that they won't, I did, and I feel great now. I feel unchained, man.
But I guess they can say now that you just, like, jump, like, yes, CanoCast, we talk about all these different games and different stuff like that, but I still think, like, that someone not knowing and just seeing what you, like, the content you're putting out just thinks you went from Pokemon to Fire Emblem. And
oh, yeah.
And you're just, like, straight Fire Emblem now,
yeah.
and you don't, like...
If you had to put a pin on my content, it would be Fire Emblem-based.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. All my medias kind of have different stuff.
But like when you stream, you don't stream exclusively Fire Emblem stuff.
I'm more of a Splatoon streamer.
Yeah, your streaming is completely different than CanoCast podcast. It's completely different than the YouTube.
I know. Yeah. I dare you. Show me any other content creator who is diversified as I am. I dare you, internet. Show me a more diversified content creator. Bring me their name. I will squash them. I have two unique podcasts. I have a Twitch stream. I have a YouTube channel. I have a I have an Instagram account now. I take pictures every other day. I do so much. It's surprising I'm not more successful, actually. I feel like I'm doing everything right. Anyway, we got wicked sidetracked there. You know who's also diversifying? Saved it. Our second story covering Xbox Live, which is coming to Nintendo Switch and mobile platforms.
I don't even know what this could mean.
That's
what
just
that
such
mean?
A head. I can see, like, you want to scratch your head right now.
Wait. So is Xbox Live their streaming service?
Yes.
So they're... Is Nintendo like, we know our servers are shit, Xbox, help us?
Wow, potty mouth.
Sorry.
No.
Is that what's happening?
That's not what they're doing. So the goal from Microsoft is to enable game developers to connect players between iOS, Android, and Switch, in addition to Xbox and any game on the Microsoft Store on a Windows PC.
Wait, so like a game that's on all platforms.
That's by bringing the network to more platforms.
Is this
so like, it's a developer thing.
Is this kind of like what they did with that, like, what's that soccer, like, game that you FIFA? Were no
FIFA all day oh
the one with the cars and you could play it on any platform and you could have like games together.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking like what's the other one
that I honestly I literally just referenced this in my in my Switch or my direct reaction video.
Oh, who's gonna think of it first? I can't think of it. Monster Car.
Rocket League.
Rocket League, yeah. Yes. Because you can play that game, and you can play against people on other platforms, and so as long as you have the game, you can play together.
The thing that I think sets the standard for this, and I'll talk about this in just a second, let me get through the deets.
Okay, sorry.
Microsoft is planning a presentation with further details on the launch at GDC going on March 18th through the 22nd. My phone just binged.
Oh my goodness. You forgot to put your phone on silent.
I
even remembered.
I'm in this habit now because random numbers call me and I never know if it's a job.
I have
so
that too.
My phone's always like on silent and I've missed some calls that I have not been able to get a hold of anybody on the recall. And so now I'm very scared and I keep an eye on it. Anyways, Phil Spencer at Xbox has been wanting to explore this type of cross-platform development since 2017. And what does this mean? It potentially means that we'll have cross-play compatibility in the future with more games because developers have more access to more platforms. And the shining example of this, because it's literally on every single platform, is Fortnite.
I was thinking that, but I didn't say it.
But you said Rocket League.
I did say Rocket
League.
Which
is bad.
It's not
because that's not on mobile.
It's not a great...
I don't think.
It's not a great example of the width and the breadth that they're trying to create.
Yeah.
And the Fortnite is a great example of that.
I think... I don't know if it's so much about Switch. Like, I think it's mostly about mobile. Because what's happening with mobile right now... And again, Fortnite kind of set the example for this.
Everyone has a phone.
Fortnite's on the ropes, man. Apex, EA launched Apex, and it's a battle royale that people say have staying power, friends.
I think the death of Fortnite.
No, I'm not a battle royale guy. My shooter days ended with
Halo Reach,
100%. I was big in Halo 3. I was big on Halo Reach, and I was just like, I'm done. Bungie left. And Microsoft took it over. Like, I know how this is going to go. I'm a pass. And then I didn't get Destiny because I don't have a PS4.
Yeah. I was so like, what about Destiny?
That was the end of my shooter
career.
People
loved Destiny, and I think...
And now I play Splatoon.
Yeah.
So everything comes full circle.
Splatoon. Destiny, Halo, Splatoon.
Playing COD, PUBG, Halo Reach, Destiny, Splatoon 2. Yeah, that's exactly right. Shout out to Team Waffle, by the way. I didn't put this in the rundown because it already happened, but Team Waffle took it. And props to Team Waffle. Because Team Waffle went 3-0.
So last time we 3-0. Talked about how you were going to make me waffles.
I did.
And you did make me waffles.
I did.
It was like a few days later, but you made me waffles.
I said I'd make them Saturday morning. I made them on
Sunday. You made them Sunday.
Yeah, whatever. I made them. And if you're going to be picky like this, I'm never making them again. I will make waffles, and I will eat waffles because they're delicious, and you will have none.
But they were good.
Yeah, well, don't complain about when you get them, then. Yeah, so cross-play compatibility in the future with more games is, I think, probably what we're going to be seeing with this. And the bang for buck on mobile games is so high, right? But the scary bit is that...
They know where you are at all times.
In-game transactions.
And that...
are way easier on mobile. As one gacha game player, me, once said, my wallet bleeds.
Well, you're not only, like... If you're playing a mobile game and you're using Wi-Fi and you're using it in an arena like Fortnite, can't they get you with, like, the in-game purchases? But then they also get you in, like, if you don't have the right data plan, you can get, like, pretty much screwed over.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
So if you're going to do that, make sure you have the right data plan.
But I think the good thing that's happening is Spencer is trying to put developers at the helm to reach their games on other platforms.
I think that's a really good...
And that's a good thing.
For, like, developers, and that's, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Microsoft doesn't have... Like, Xbox doesn't really have a big handle on the indie market. Right? But you know who does? Switch, PS4.
Yeah.
Sony and Nintendo, particularly Nintendo, like, really has a strong grasp on the indie market. And obviously platforms like Steam, where, you know, you as a developer can, you know, put your games on Steam. But yeah, I think it's a new market for Xbox. I think given how well they do online subscriptions, which we're going to talk about in just a second... I think it's a good thing, and I think everybody might be able to learn, and it's good for the developers. So that's kind of a win all around.
Yeah, because if you're developing a game and you're putting that much time and effort and, like, blood, sweat, and tears into it, you want it to reach the biggest audience you can.
Now let's talk about something that's not nice.
What?
Nintendo is planning to boost Switch Online subscriptions.
What do you mean by boost? Like, increase the price?
No. So, there were 8 million current subscribers on Nintendo Switch Online. Right now. But the majority are shorter subscription plans, so 6 months or less.
Yeah.
Like the 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, 12 month. That's how they can come.
Are they gonna
might be the only person in the world with a 2 year subscription because I called support and they gave me options as to what I should do, and I was like, well, let me just pay an extra 15 and I'll have 2 years. And they were like, great, we'll do that. So I actually have 2 year subscription, but I'm living the free life until fall 2021, friends. 2020.
Anyway, you wish it was 21.
That'd be sweet. 3 year plan. Hell yeah. Majority of initial adopters back in September 2018, which is when it launched, opted for the 12-month plan. Again, I went for 2 year. Get on my level.
You went for 2 1-years. Don't mislead the audience.
No, I didn't. No, because, like, I found out it was profile specific.
Yeah.
And so they took my 1 year and had me pay the difference to basically have a 2 year family plan, which is what I have now. Because I needed it for my KCB and my personal account.
Yeah, they rolled it over.
They rolled it in. I had a single player 1 year. They rolled it into a 2 year family.
Oh.
Which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
They have the power. Anyway, they had a lot of early adopters go for the 12-month plan, which isn't really surprising if you think about it. Because, like, early adopters are always going to be more enthusiastic about it, right? Yeah. So they're more inclined to, like, not so much test the water, but to kind of, like, jump in. Also,
wasn't it the
in.
Best value?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty tough. You know it's pretty tough to beat $20 for a year.
If you're going to use it, then, like...
I think it was $20 for a year for a single player or $35 for a family plan, which technically you could hook up 8 accounts to, which is like $7 a person for a year. Like, that's crazy. But, I mean, the initial data they have makes a lot of sense, right? Early adopters and all that. The plan is to boost subscriptions focused on the 12-month plan. So what they want to do is they want to start giving people incentive to purchase a 12-month plan over a 1-month or a 3-month. Let me lay down some bold truth here, all right? This is not... We're just going to rip the Band-Aid off right now. Get dedicated servers and stop player-to-player connections. Nintendo, what are you doing? You know what doesn't sell a 12-month subscription plan? Laggy Smash games that aren't the way, that's not how you boost your online subscriptions. Online virtual console arcade games are great as a bonus. That's awesome. But not when the games that the person buys to play online are unplayable because they're laggy and disconnecting constantly. That's not how you sell an online service. Xbox, please talk to Nintendo. Please, Phil Spencer, please talk to Reggie about online subscriptions, because it's priced well. We don't have dedicated servers. It's still player-to-player connection, so I don't really know what we're paying for other than a glorified virtual console, which, by the way, they give much better titles exclusively to Japan. Like, the Nintendo Switch Online virtual console NES, SNES games that we get from the online subscription, they're different between the Americas, Europe, Japan, Australia.
Do you think they were different,
all different
because of, like, what they thought the demand would be? No. Like, for, like, these countries' favorite games.
I don't know why Japan gets better titles, but they do, and it makes me upset. Because
you want to just, like, live there?
Japan always gets the good stuff, man.
That's what I'm hearing from you. We should just live there.
We're literally paying for the same service, for the same crappy service. And we don't even get the good titles.
How do you know it's crappy over there?
Because, I mean, it's not a dedicated server. So your entire online playing experience depends on A, your internet connection, and B, your opponent's internet connection.
True.
Yeah. And what's even more frustrating is trying to live stream a game that takes a heavy toll. Like, I can live stream Splatoon and not really have any problems, right? Yeah. Smash, not the case. Don't know what the problem is. Always get lag when I stream it. Like, it's like my router turns into a potato, and a potato can't send out a Wi-Fi signal, right? And I can't do a wired connection, because then it puts a strain on my PC, which is also a wired connection, and my router, like, can't function. Again, my router turns into a potato. That's just what happens. And we need dedicated servers, and that would solve a lot of problems. You would have a lot of people picking up 12-month subscriptions just for Smash alone. Literally just for Smash alone. But the service is bad. And so that's why I feel like people got a 1 or 3 month subscription when Smash came out to test the water.
Possibly, yeah.
And those 30 to 90-day subscriptions are not going to turn into to yearly subscriptions because the connection and service is that bad.
Well, I mean, okay.
That's just what's going to happen.
Internet's great. Wi-Fi is amazing. But you do have to realize, like, everyone that has that game or has a Switch may not live in a city or someplace that, like, readily has really fast internet. They could live royal in the middle of nowhere. They have an internet signal, but it's not great. So, like, if you're matched together, you're going to have a bad time, because even if the guy in the big city is having difficulties getting on the service.
Even Genesis, you're going to have a bad time.
You can't rely on the person that has, like, questionable internet to then be your match.
Nope. You cannot. Listen, we have beat this to death. Those are the three shorter stories, by the way. We got a whole mess of stuff to get into.
This is what happens when we don't record in a long time. We just talk forever.
Anyway, we will be right back after a word from our sponsor. We have the Nintendo Direct and the top 10 best-selling Nintendo Switch first-party titles to go over when we get back. Right now. Please enjoy this message. All right, welcome back. I don't know what that ad was for, but you should definitely go check it out and make sure you use the right link that I talked about.
I think it's amazing that you don't know what ad's going
to
be there.
I don't. Well, when I upload to Anchor, shout out. It was probably an Anchor ad, actually. Even if I have like 2-3 sponsors at a time, it just says add a sponsor.
And you just
don't know what sponsor it's adding, so it pulls one of my uploaded ads and then it puts it on there. I don't know.
Awesome.
I hope you guys. It might change based on like
when you listen.
When
to this.
You're listening, I don't know. I don't know
That's
how it pulls.
That's true, because you can have a sponsor and then you can like that sponsor decides not to sponsor gone. You anymore.
I don't know. So I would love to shout them out, but you know, there's actually one ad that it's on the Faycast, or it should be on the Faycast. It's like a 2.5-minute spot. And I'm not going to say their name because they got their money worth already. Trust me. For the nickel that I got for the listen that it received. Anyway. Listen, Nintendo Direct. It just happened. Let me give you a brief rundown of the headlines or the quickie trailers / looks that we got. We got to see Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, which features Captain Marvel. Sure to coincide with Captain Marvel's release and eventually Avengers Endgame later this summer. Box Boy and Box Girl, a 3.0 Smash Ultimate update for spring. We have an update for Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, including co-op play for all levels. And I heard that Joe wants me to play that with him, and I definitely would, but I don't have the game. So if we can find a way around that, I would definitely play that with Joe and stream it, because that would be fun. We can solve puzzles.
Why can't you get the game?
Because it's money. And as I'm about to talk, there's a lot of games that want my money this year.
Oh, okay. I mean...
But not this one. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. That's Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night. Or colon, rather. Dragon Quest Builders 2. Disney Tsum Tsum Festival.
This looks adorable.
I can't say it. I can't, like, I don't know if I could play that with my niece, but...
She's really, like, I was up there, and she kept, like, navigating away from your stream, because I'm like, look, it's Uncle Brian.
Great. I feel the love.
And, like,
I feel all the
support. She's got the swiping, and she could probably play it.
We have an update for Starlink Battle for Atlas coming in April. Rune Factory 4 Special got announced, as well as the notice that Rune Factory 5 is now in development. Oninaki, which is a new RPG from Square Enix that looks visually incredible, is coming summer 2019, and I will gladly throw my money at any RPG that Square Enix comes out with. Yoshi's Crafted World, we got another look at that, and we have gacha costumes now, but it's not pay-to-play, it's, you know, in-game coins, which is much better. Tetris 99, Dead by Daylight, Deltarune, with the first chapter being free for download later this month. All other chapters you gots to pay for, however. We also got to see a demo for Demon X Machina with the notice of a summer 2019 release date. Grid Auto Sport was shown. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, which honestly looked really good. Like, it looked like a visual novel almost. Like, I would definitely be more... I would be interested in checking that out. And I guess it's like a port or a remake that's coming. I think a port. We saw more Mortal Kombat 11. We saw Unravel 2. Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered. Final Fantasy 7 with a release date of March 26th. Oh my god, it's so close. Chocobo Mystery Dungeon on March 20th. And Final Fantasy 9 available right now. What are you doing? Go buy that game and play it.
But finish listening to the episode first.
Or
don't. Because we appreciate it.
Or don't. You already heard the ad. I got my game. No, I'm just kidding. We're getting into the good stuff now. But no, Final Fantasy 9 was just kind of like, oh, hey, it's out right now. I was like, what? This is is great. I have a reaction video that's live on
YouTube.
On my YouTube right now, which I edited down a 36-minute reaction to like 17 minutes, so I deserve a Pulitzer Prize or something. We opened the direct with Mario Maker 2. Mario Maker 2 on Nintendo Switch. It's happening. We're finally getting the sequel to Mario Maker. It's coming out June 2019, which is a summer release, but like the vast majority of these were all summer release anyway. And it has been forever, and we need it, and I'm so glad that we're getting it, and I love it, and I want it. I've already started brainstorming Mario Maker 2 competitions for the Discord.
Are you going to have to play them?
I am. And I think whichever course I take the longest to get through, if I get through it, would be the winner. I mean, that might be like a fun little stream / interaction thing that I could do.
Yeah.
Sometime down the road.
I really love the concept of this game. Have not spent a lot of time with it because I feel like it came out late in life for the Wii U. Like, kind of, sort of. By the time we got it, anyway.
It was on the 3DS, too, but it wasn't that.
We never got it for 3DS.
It's not good.
So I haven't spent a lot of time with it, and I am just impressed by the creativity people have, because I feel like when I would be really straightforward with how I built the levels.
Who do I watch do, like, insane Mario runs? Dave from DGR, who's on YouTube. Shout out to Dave from DGR. He doesn't listen to this, probably. But I've seen him do, like, a lot of Mario Maker levels, and people, like, send him some insane stuff to run through.
I mean,
a lot of them troll levels,
yes,
which are hilarious when you're not the one playing it. But yeah, like, this game makes so much sense on the Nintendo Switch. Like, it really, really does. And I'm genuinely surprised it took them this long to release. The Switch has been around for a while now, and Nintendo has clearly not put a whole lot of stock in the Wii U. So I feel like, as a Wii U owner, I was basically just a beta tester for the Nintendo Switch.
Kind of.
Because if you look at the Wii U gamepad,
it's
the Switch. Like, it is a non-Joy-Con detachable Switch. That's what it is.
I was thinking, like, how can I play Mario Maker, the first one, while you're playing Mario Maker 2 on, like, the pad? And I was like, wait, you can't, because the pad is, like, your controller and you have to have a screen. So it's going to be real interesting how that works, like...
Yeah, I wonder how that'll work, like, in dock mode and stuff. Yeah, that'll be interesting. We also got a pretty in-depth look at Dragon Quest XI. It was an extensive trailer that gave us the backstory of our hero. I'm not super invested in the Dragon Quest series. However, I do know that they are going super hard for this game. It's got a fall 2019 release date, and I would not at all be surprised if the leak / rumor happened to be true and we got Dragon Quest character in Smash. Which, they did not talk about any kind of Smash DLC, for what it's worth. So, there you go. That's a thing that's happening right now. But, I mean, Dragon Quest XI looks pretty visually appealing, I think. Like, a lot of the games in this Direct were all very visually appealing. Oninaki definitely wins it for me in that category. But I can see why Dragon Quest fans would be a fan. And Dragon Quest kind of helped establish the genre of JRPG. So, like, they're big hitters. It's not one that you hear a lot about, but they have a deep-rooted history in the genre. And it looks good. It's like a new game that's also an homage to Dragon Quest as a whole. So yeah, it's probably gonna be amazing. Fire Emblem Three Houses. We finally got a look at Fire Emblem Three Houses, an in-depth look. Oh my god, I'm so excited. We had a bigger idea of the game's setting, and it seems you'll choose one of three paths. This was after like a super in-depth history lesson, by the way. Like, we had a history of all three territories and like the history of it. It was crazy. I think we're probably going to choose one of three paths toward the beginning of the game, but we're not going to have to buy separate games like we did with Fates. So Fates had Birthright, Conquest, and Revelations, three different games that you had to play through all of them to get the complete story. Lame. But this one seems like it has higher replayability value because, like, you could basically just start a new save file if you wanted and, like, choose a different territory every time to get, like, the full scope. I feel like that's what they're going for. And realistically, it would be very inappropriate for them to be like, hey, this is a $60 console game. I hope you're looking forward to buying all three and spending almost $200 on it. Because that would be insane. I honestly don't know how the Gen 8 Pokemon game is going to swing, because that's what Pokemon does. Like, they did it with Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, if you bought both Let's Go games, we need to talk. Because that's, like, a crazy amount of money. Actually, I think Amazus did buy both of them. I may be speaking out of turn. Amazus is a friend of mine. I don't know if he did, but anyway.
Man. That was a mouthful.
That was a lot. It's broken into three houses that are all representative of the three territories of the world. Again, I'm very excited about this, but I know that some people are also kind of pessimistic because it has like a university type setting, and they've made like a lot. Like, some of the criticism I've seen was they've turned it into like, you know, a teenage high school drama. Which I don't think is the case. But I'm excited because they seem to be using that setting to inform the skill learning and the stat increasing. And you're using the academic setting to inform how your players gain new skills, gain new abilities, things like that. And that seems cool. It also seems very involved. Which may be why they put a release date of July 26th, which is definitely not the spring, but it is in fact the summer, which I'm pretty okay with, honestly. It's coming out. I have plenty of time to finish my Fire Emblem stream series that's going on. They have more time to make the game better. I'm thrilled. I'm very, very happy and super okay with, you know, a couple more months wait time. If you want more information on this, I will be doing a deep dive, probably in its own separate episode of The FaeCast. That's anchor.fm/TheFaeCast if you want to go check that out. But that's all the time we have to spend on Three Houses. Believe me, I'm as disappointed as you are. there's going to be a special announcement, which I already have pre-ordered. So I have.
You know what else you have pre-ordered that I keep getting notifications about?
What?
All the amiibo that you pre-ordered like way back when.
Yeah, that's my bad. Whoopsies.
Shipping.
We also have Astral Chain, which got this is probably one of the bigger looks that we got towards the end. I have no idea what this game is, but it looks absolutely insane. I got kind of like a Xenoblade on steroids kind of vibe from it. It's created by Platinum Games, FYI, who are also, we got reassured, are working on Bayonetta 3. They didn't forget about Bayonetta 3. We've had pushback dates for Fire Emblem Three Houses, and Metroid Prime 4 got completely scrapped and is being started over. We had no idea when Yoshi's Woolly World was coming out until like a couple weeks ago. Bayonetta 3 is still alive, so we all got comfort from that. But it's supposed to be like an action game, and I'm not sure. Well, I mean, maybe it's Bayonetta-esque. I don't know, but it looked like the characters had like blades almost, like from Xenoblade. But whatever it is, it's definitely an experience, and that's exactly how the host described it. And it's coming out August 30th, which is a very definitive date, unless they push it back. But then the final game that they showcased, which we didn't get a look at for dates anyway.
I was excited.
A 2019 release date.
Yeah.
The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Not a remaster, not a port, not a special edition, a completely reimagined version of Link's Awakening for the Nintendo Switch 26 years later after it came out.
It is so pretty and so cute.
It's like It's like the baby of a Yoshi game and The Legend of Zelda. That's how I would describe it. And there were chain chomps and, like, Goombas in there, too. I don't know if you caught that.
I did not catch that, but, like...
I didn't on my first watch
either. I just saw, like, the little
I've watched play, this direct three times
The playing, now. And, like, it was just super cute. Like, I guess I've never... Like, I'm not super into the Zelda world, so I don't know a lot about it. Oh, but man. If I had to go off of a game that was, like... Breath of the Wild, that might be a little intimidating for me, but I could definitely see myself picking up this new Zelda game and having a good time.
I mean, Breath of the Wild got me into the series, like, more, like, I've always thought it was a cool series.
Yeah.
I've messed around with some of the way older games, right? Like, the original Legend of Zelda 2, like, games like that. But Breath of the Wild really got me into the series. And so because of that hype train, I am willing to just kind of like get it. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
I don't think so, because there was no like hint or anything about it.
I don't believe that was the unannounced title that fans would be happy about. I think that was Mario Maker. If I had to pick one, I would say it was Mario Maker. It fits the online profile pretty darn well.
Yeah.
You got to be online to play it.
Yeah.
Basically. Unless you just want to make maps that no one's ever going to touch. And I think it was a title that people were expecting for a while, but we never really got. Like, we got the Mario Party on Switch. We got the Mario... Like, we don't have, like, a true Mario Kart successor. Like, we kind of got, like, a DLC-inclusive port from Wii U over to Switch. Same thing with, like, Pokken. That's kind of what happened. But I think Mario Maker was one of those where it felt like it fit so well on Nintendo Switch. And I was like, why has it been like more than 3 months where you guys have not had this on here yet? But yeah, so that's pretty much what we had from the Nintendo Direct. If you want to bug us on social media and let us know what your favorite part of the Nintendo Direct was, you could definitely do that. Links for all of our medias are in the episode description. You can check those out. But for right now, we are going to move on to our final story of the evening, and that is, or I guess technically whatever time of day?
Yeah.
Not evening. It's evening for us. The top-selling Nintendo first-party games, and we're going to play a little game with Jenna.
Oh, on boy. This.
So
you told me we were going to do this,
and now I'm nervous. I have pen and paper.
Okay, flip the page.
So you can write on this here.
I can write on that?
Okay. Yeah.
So how many are there? You said 10.
There's 10.
Okay, so I'm going to make two lines of numbers 1 through 10.
Okay. You will have a chance to change your answers if at the very end. We'll do it React style.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So why don't you describe what we're doing, because they don't know yet.
So I'm basically going to randomly name the 10 games on this list, and Jenna's going to try and put them in top 10 order. So, to be clear, these are Nintendo Switch titles.
Yes.
They are first-party titles only. So, no, like...
No indie games.
No third-party ports or, like, nothing like that. And they are lifetime. So, it's not just, like, 2018 games, 2019, 2017. It's every game.
Switch lifetime?
Every game that's come out per the financial report that just happened... like early February.
You mean every game in Nintendo history or every game in Switch history?
For the
history?
Switch.
Okay.
For the Switch.
Switch history. Got
just
it.
Just the Switch.
Okay.
Not like, well, hang on. Let me double check before I tell you this. Because I don't want to misspeak.
I mean, I'm still going
to
be equally as bad at it.
I don't
want to
like throw you off. There are... Yeah, so there's no like virtual console titles or anything like that. So it's just first-party titles.
All right. I don't really quite know what that means, but I'm going to try my best.
So, first, I'm going to have to, like, make sure I look at these right. Splatoon 2.
I'm going to give that, like, a 4.
Which came out July 21st, 2017.
July 21st. Okay.
You don't have to...
I mean,
are you trying to game this?
I'm taking notes.
Interesting.
If you're going to tell me when it came out.
Oh, interesting. Mario Tennis Aces.
I'm going to put that at like, because I don't have that many.
That came out June 22nd of last year. So it's It's coming up on the year old.
I'm going to put that at an 8 because I'm not sure and I only have two options right now.
Okay.
Can you hear my writing noises?
Super Mario Odyssey.
Wait, what was the date for the tennis game again?
June 22nd, 2018.
Okay, Mario...
Super Mario Odyssey.
Super Mario Odyssey.
October 27th, 2017.
I'm going to put that at like a 2.
Interesting. Okay. I'm like navigating towards all the older titles right now.
And...
I don't know why.
You said what was the release?
Oh my god.
Sorry.
October 27th. October. 2017. This is my life, by the way. What did you say? Huh? Kirby Star Allies.
I have no idea, so I'm gonna put that as...
This is my curveball right here.
As, like, maybe a 6.
And that was March 16th,
2018. Okay.
Let's see. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I'm going to put that as number 1.
Another 2017 title. This was March 3rd, 2017. What a simpler time back then. Yeah. I had just gotten back from St. Louis Regionals.
I just feel like
VGC.
That
we moved like was the like next
kind of,
day.
That was kind of like a killer app for the Switch a little bit.
I mean, it was really the only title there.
Yeah, at the time.
Except for this, 1-2 Switch, which came out the same day.
I'm going to put that as a 10.
I think. Did it? Yeah, it did. Same day.
1-2 Switch is a 10. Sometime in
which honestly should have been like 17. The Wii Sports add-on that just came with the game, but it wasn't. And it's still $60 to this day. Whoa. Let's see. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
That's definitely... This is a tie on the list, so I'm going to put it as a 3 because that's the only high spot I have left.
Okay.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Okay.
And that was December 7th. Not but a couple months ago.
We have 3 more left.
Yes.
Do you know which ones they are?
Yes. actually...
You can't read my scribble.
Have we... Super Mario Party. Have I said that one?
No, but you mentioned it about the...
Super Mario Party.
I'm going to put that as a 9.
Which came out in October last year. So again, pretty recent. It's a fall title, 2018.
Okay.
Did we do Mario Tennis?
Yes, that's on here.
Okay, Mario Tennis Aces, Super Mario Party. Oh, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
I'm going to write that as a number 5, because it's the highest spot I have right now.
Well, that came out on April 28th, 2017.
I feel like people are pretty Mario Kart fans.
And finally,
mm-hmm. I have ink all over my hand.
You got inked.
Yeah.
Splatoon reference. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, both titles. Single sales number.
I'm just going to say Pokemon Let's Go. Cause...
Which was November 16th. So again, pretty recent. Which, by the way, all you thirsty Pokemon fans on Twitter complaining that you didn't get the Pokemon Gen 8 announcement in this Direct, calm down. You just had a main series game confirmed by Masuda, like, literally 2 months ago. So,
okay.
Calm down. Chill. Pretty sure they're, like, doing a Pokemon Week at the end of the month at the World Store, too. Which has, like, a Treehouse Live every day. So, we're probably going to see some Gen 8 stuff happen there. Are you adjusting your list?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I'm not going to do that within one nonsense. Okay. If you get it right, you get a point. Normally on, like, the React channel, if you get the title within one spot, you get a point. And then you get 2 points for getting it right. But here, we're just going to go 1 point for... each correct answer. Which, by the way, if you want to play at home, feel free to do so. It's great fun. Unless you saw the financial report, in which case, probably not as fun. Because you already know the answers. Oh, she's thinking.
I'm trying not to think too much because I'm going to take forever if I do.
Yeah, don't think too much. Approach this with the everyday whimsy that you...
address
life with.
Okay.
This is a roll out of bed kind of attitude that we're working with.
I have one more to fill in. Okay. One, two, three. Okay. All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, and I took some what is the word I'm looking for?
Liberties?
Not liberties, but like.
Let's get on with the list.
I took some chances. You took chances. That's what I was looking for.
All right, great. Number 10, Kirby Star Allies.
Yes, I got it.
Which you got right. And that has sold 2.42 million units. Number 9 is Mario Tennis Aces, which you did not get right.
I had that as a number 8. So, and I had, do you want me to say what I had?
You had 1-2 Switch.
1-2 Switch is number 9.
Yeah. The Mario Tennis Aces sold 2.53 million units. And then at number 7, you had Mario Tennis, and it's actually 1-2 Switch. So you actually swapped them.
So I swapped them. Okay. Yeah. I don't get points for swapping.
You don't.
I wish I did.
1-2 Switch sold 2.86 million units. Number 7, you had Let's Go. Wow. This is embarrassing. Super Mario Party.
I switched it. I hope I switched it again.
Selling 5.3 million units.
Okay.
Number 6, you had down...
I had Mario Party.
Mario Party. It was actually Splatoon 2.
Wow.
At 8.27 million units. So we jumped from 5.3 to 8.27. Just so everyone's aware. Like, pretty big numbers.
That's a pretty big jump.
Up next, you had what?
Mario
Kart?
5 is Mario Kart I had.
Well, number 5 is actually Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Two games selling 10 million units in just a couple months. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Not as impressive as some of the other games that we're going to talk about. Up next, you had at number 4 Splatoon 2. That's obviously wrong. And it was The Mario Legend Kart? Of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Really?
Yeah.
That's number 4?
Yeah.
I had that as number 3.
11.68 million units. Now, if you're keeping track, that means we have Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Super Mario Odyssey, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe left in the running.
I don't know.
And up next at number 3.
Okay, number 3.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. 12.08 million units.
Okay, I guess I put this at number 2 because... maybe it's just because it hasn't been on the market as long, but I thought it was pretty high up there.
Number 2, okay. What'd you have?
Number 2 was Super Smash.
Super Smash? Well, yeah. It's actually Super Mario Odyssey, selling 13.76 million units, which means by default...
Are you kidding me? Nintendo
Switch title of all time, per today, is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe... A port to the Nintendo Switch, which got released a month after games like Breath of the Wild and 1-2 Switch, selling 15.02 million units.
So,
2 million units more than Odyssey.
Here's the thing. If 3 million more than Smash Bros. I would have known that, I could have probably put them in better order and almost got a bunch more of them.
So, but for the record, Smash Bros. Ultimate been out like... 6 weeks now?
Yeah.
And number 3?
Yeah.
And I mean, wedged between Zelda and Odyssey, like, Breath of the Wild and Odyssey are considered perfect games.
I did, but, like, I'm really proud of myself that I
didn't... And they've been around for years.
That I didn't put Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, above Mario Odyssey, because I remember you saying how many games and how much people love Mario. And so I was like, you know what? People love Smash.
They still, so, man.
Like,
I don't know.
So I, that's why I had, like, one was Mario Odyssey, two was Smash, and three was Breath of the Wild.
Honestly... I think if Nintendo just needs to hit that money button, they just release a Mario Kart game. Mario Kart 9. As soon as the stock starts to dip,
think about
Mario Kart 9 announcement.
Think about, like, the demographics of that game. It's a family game. It's a competitive racing game.
I mean, it's Nintendo.
It has, like, it's classic, and it has a giant group of people that would enjoy playing.
It's also worth noting that two of the top three best-selling games are very online-heavy. With their online being garbage.
I have a question. And yeah. You may be able to tell me, like, you're thinking like a crazy person. When we got the Wii U, we got the Mario bundle and the Mario Splatoon, or the Mario Kart and Splatoon bundle.
Yes.
Did they have a cart bundle for the Switch? And are they counting bundles into the sale of the game?
I don't think they did. No, they didn't.
Because
it was
kind
a port.
Of like a forced...
It was a port.
Forced purchase, sort of.
No, it was a port. I can see why you would think that. They did not.
Okay.
Pokemon Let's Go did. Super Smash Bros. Did. Odyssey had, like, different colored Joy-Cons, but they didn't have, like, a dock graphic like the other two did. Breath of the Wild, I don't think did. And then the other ones didn't either. So the only ones that really did were Smash and Let's Go.
I just want you to tell me I did a good job.
You did a good job.
Because I was
real
close.
You got Kirby.
I was real close.
You misspelled it.
I...
But you got it. You spelled it like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Kirby.
What's up, Kirby?
I wasn't trying to spell. I was trying to get them on the page.
It's spelled more like Kirby. With a K-I, not a C-U. Speaking of C-U, we will see you later, because that is going to round out another episode of KantoCast. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to check the episode description, which has links to follow me and Jenna as well on all types of social medias. If you want more podcast goodness and you are a Fire Emblem fan, great news! Be sure to check out my other podcast, The FayCast. That's anchor.fm/TheFayCast, where I do a weekly solo dive into all kinds of Fire Emblem and Fire Emblem Heroes topics, including one that's going to be covering Three Houses as soon as I get around to writing that. As always, thank you to everyone who supports this show and all the other content that I do. If you would like to help fund the show and all other content I create, please consider pledging with listener support at anchor.fm/CantoCast/support. Or become a subscriber over on twitch.tv/KCBBrian. If you can't make a pledge, sharing the show helps out a lot. So get on Twitter and do that thing you do when you do what you do, and help spread the word of KantoCast and the goodness that we're doing on over here. Once again, thank you all so much for listening. For my co-host Jenna, I am Brian, and we will catch you next time on an all-new episode of KantoCast.